This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of this show or Gunna Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Get ready because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussions ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Whitten.
I prefer to jazzercise my demons, but yeah. And my co-host, Haley Malley.
That line you're worrying about crossing. Look behind you.
And Keir Hansen.
Gallifrey Public Radio. Now we have maths.
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But if we get anything too serious, don't worry. We'll warn you again. Welcome to episode 99 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we learn to talk around new teeth, complain about our kidneys, try on one ridiculous outfit after another, and then spend most of the podcast comatose to build dramatic tension. I am Jay, and with me in the GPR studios this week is Haley. How are you doing, Haley?
I'm doing better than some.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Keir is not with us tonight. He had a little bit of a medical emergency, so he's doing fine. He's home, and he's enjoying the pharmaceutical benefits of his situation. So we wish him the best, but unfortunately he's not able to join us tonight.
Nope. But this week we are taking a look at the patterns of first episodes for each Doctor as we stare down the barrel of Capaldi's inaugural episode. We try to pick out patterns, flukes, writing inconsistencies, and genuine canon aspects to determine what we are in store for with deep breath.
Yeah, so this week we're just trying to take a look at the first episode that each Doctor has been in so that we can kind of see what, you know, what has to happen, what's happened once or twice, that kind of thing, and see what we've got coming up. So, obviously the first regeneration that we had was the first Doctor, going into the second Doctor. So we're going to start with Doctor number two, and his first episode was The Power of the Daleks. And in this one, you know, he comes up and this was still really half baked. They were dealing with the new concept. They didn't know what they were really doing with it. It was a lot of, hey, let's try this and see what sticks kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the, a lot of the aspects were just put together. And, so then the physical state that the Doctor was in was really, I mean, he seemed normal. He popped up. He's like, oh, okay, you know, new body. Let's try this out. I'm going to go jump a chasm, and everything seemed fine. Yeah, mentally he was far more erratic. He was, you know, an altogether different personality, really. But for his companions, he was very, you know, just bouncing all over the place. You know, at one point, Ben pointed out, he's like, well, you haven't scanned. And he's like, yes, I did. You didn't. I just did it while I was talking to you. And, it proved that he was going to be far more energetic than the first Doctor had been. But, you know, that was about the only difference, was just kind of, you know, showing his personality.
Did he have carryover companions from the first to the second Doctor?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Ben and Polly were there for the 10th planet. And then on, I forget how many episodes they went into Troughton's run, but they were there to witness the regeneration and help him through it. So,
okay.
So, all right. How many of the classic Doctor regenerations have you seen?
I don't think any yet. I've just barely gotten into Hartnell stuff. And then okay. I saw, you know, the movie on, so.
Okay. So you're pretty much from the dark times on, you've seen them all, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then the second Doctor in the War Games obviously gets forced to regenerate. And we actually, this was strange because they didn't show who he regenerated into. They started the regeneration process. They forced him to regenerate, but then we didn't get to see the third Doctor until Spearhead from Space. So it wasn't until he stumbled out of the TARDIS that he actually, we got to see John Pertwee.
They just didn't have the casting done yet.
I don't know if that was it. I think they had already cast him. It was just a directorial choice.
Okay.
But I'm honestly not sure. See, this is why we need Keir. He's full of this kind of trivial information. But obviously in War Games, his companions had their memory wiped and were sent home. So he didn't have anyone with him this time. So he basically stumbles out of the TARDIS and is incapacitated, just passed out, done. It was actually UNIT who found him and took him to to a hospital. So he spent the entire first episode of the story arc in a hospital bed in a unit sick bag. So yeah, or this was, the Brigadier was really the only one who had dealt with the doctor before. So he was there still confused as to why this guy was in the doctor's TARDIS. But, so obviously he was passed out the entire time. When he first wakes up, there was a lot of confusion and stuff. He was still, still dealing with everything that had happened during, the end of War Games, trying to convince the Brig that he was who he said he was and this, that, and the other. So a little bit of confusion, but he's able to bounce back from it very quickly.
Yeah.
And then the fourth Doctor, he comes in robot, and, basically his, again, kind of standard at this point, falls unconscious and has to be taken to a unit sick bag.
I'm just noticing a pattern here.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And then when he pops up, he's Tom Baker right from the get go. Yeah, he's a little bit delirious when he first wakes up, and then just goes full Tom Baker. And everyone that's dealing with him thinks, oh, he's off his nut. He's a lunatic. He's just going completely erratic. But yeah, as we see with his character, that's just who he is. So again, a very quick recovery. All right. So the first episode that we get with the fifth Doctor is Castrovalva. And obviously in this one, he's incapacitated. He's completely just rendered useless through the vast majority of it. So, you know, he can't walk. The TARDIS has to provide him with a wheelchair. He's babbling incoherently the vast majority of the time. You know, it's not until they get him into the zero chamber that he's able to actually function on, you know, some fashion. Yeah. But I mean, this was just a very, very rough regeneration. Yeah, completely taken out of commission for most of it. But then, at the end of the fifth Doctor era, we get the sixth Doctor going into the twin dilemma. And all right, poor writing aside, horrible episode aside, he's physically, he seems perfectly normal. You know, he doesn't have the problem of passing out or not being able to walk or anything like that. He's perfectly fine. Mentally, he's off his nut. I mean, he's going crazy, strangling companions, which, hey, no harm, no foul. You know, it was Perry. I get that way sometimes too. But, you know, he's completely lost it mentally, basically. You know, just attacking anyone that comes in, not making a lick of sense to most people. So, yeah, this was a very mentally exhausting regeneration for him. But, then the seventh Doctor comes in with, Time and the Rani. And, you know, basically the TARDIS is jumbled and the Doctor falls and hits his head, and this knocks him unconscious, causing his regeneration. So here it's the falling unconscious that causes the regeneration and not in response to it this time. But, then when he finally does come to, you know, he's perfectly fine. He doesn't even realize that he regenerated, basically pops up and picks up his conversation with Mel mid sentence. Yeah. You know, so it was just absolutely no problem there.
That would be a bit of a shock.
A little bit, yeah. It's like you start one sentence with one face and finish it with a different one. It's just, yeah, a bit jarring, but yeah. but then we get to everyone's favorite movie, the 1996 TV movie.
Cinematic masterpiece.
It's a legend. It really is. But then, this one, obviously, when he dies on the operating table, they put him in a freezer. He's done, you know, completely written off. And here he has, you know, when he does come to, it's visually, it's a very disturbing regeneration. This is far more grotesque and, painful looking than any of the other ones that we've seen up to this point. You know, and obviously they're trying new stuff here. They're trying to get it going. So basically everything's out the window. They can do whatever they want at this point and see how it fits.
Right. So, complete amnesia. No idea what or who he is.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when he comes out, he's moving around very stiffly, having trouble getting around, that kind of thing, which, I mean, he's been in a freezer for a half hour. Yeah. Give him some slack.
Yeah. You die. You get to limp around for a little while.
Yeah. But then by Tuesday, I expect you back at work. Yeah. But like you said, you know, mentally he was, you know, completely clueless as to who he was. Didn't remember that he wasn't even human. Just nothing. You know, obviously first words out of his mouth, who am I? You know, obviously more dramatic than that, but still it's, but then, you know, we do get a couple more regenerations there, but we don't actually see how those play out. You know, Eighth regenerates into the War Doctor and apparently goes off to fight the Daleks. War Doctor regenerates into the Ninth Doctor. And all we know about that is that, you know, he pops out and has a problem with his ears apparently at some point.
Well, did you see those ears?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was actually an interesting theory that I've read, though, is that if you watch Rose, you know, he looks in the mirror and he's like, yeah, oh, it's not too bad. It's his first time seeing himself, really. You know?
Yeah.
But then when Rose goes to visit crazy internet guy, he's got pictures of the Doctor from all over the place, right?
Right.
And so the Doctor's been knocking around for a while with this new face. So you have to wonder, you know, what was there never a mirror on any of these adventures? And then I was actually reading a theory that when the Doctor offers to take Rose with him,
he pops away for a little while.
Yeah, he goes
on adventures and then comes back and picks right, her up.
Comes back at that almost exact same moment and says, did I mention that it travels in time? And, you know, for us viewing from Rose's eyes, it's almost instantaneous. So, I mean, that actually makes a lot of sense, especially when you see what the Doctor's like when he travels for a while. And having just come out of the Time War, I can understand him hitting that point and saying, no, you know, I really don't want to go down this path. I need somebody with me. So I think it fits. Headcanon accepted. Then Ninth going into the Tenth Doctor. And this one, for most people, is their first introduction to regeneration. So this is very interesting for us. But obviously spent the vast majority of the episode unconscious. You know, when he first lands the TARDIS after the regeneration, he's, you know, excited, but not really able to form his thoughts and stuff. You can already tell that the regeneration sickness is kind of setting in, you know, and then falls unconscious. And once he's had some sleep and some nice, you know, tea smoke in his face, he pops up and he's perfectly fine.
He needed to go into the Odin sleep for a little while.
There you go. It all makes sense now. But, and then the 11th Doctor, this is one of the ones that just I find so interesting because there was basically no side effects at all, aside from being like extremely hungry and having, you know, a very questionable palate and no bacon. Really? Really?
I don't understand it. Those Brits.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange. But then, you know, mentally he's still very, like, very on it, very sharp. He's able to pick up the fact that there's something terrifying bothering Amy or Amelia within the first couple minutes of having met her. So, you know, he's very erratic, and you see with the whole weird camera effect when he's noticed Rory was facing the wrong way, like, he has trouble processing stuff. There's a lot of information, and he's having trouble, like, really putting it together. But for the most part, you know, he's on it. He knows what to do, and he accomplishes it brilliantly. So, you know, this was one of the easiest regenerations that we'd ever seen.
True.
So that brings us up to the current state of affairs.
So what do we think is going to happen with Capaldi?
Well, I mean, some of the scenes that we've seen in the trailer, he spent some time in a nightshirt. So I'm assuming
maybe a little nap.
Yeah, there's going to be a nap. And I don't think it's a voluntary one because when he comes out, Clara's like, it's the Doctor. What's he doing here? You know, like, he's not supposed to be here. He should be back in bed. So I think that it's, you know, either he falls unconscious or, you know, they see that there's enough erratic behavior or something to say, hey, no, lay down. We got this, you know. So there's at least that. But beyond that, I don't know. You know, aside from annoying little French bastards saying how awesome Capaldi is, I'm assuming that, you know, he gets better and takes charge rather quickly. So,
yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to be similar to what we saw with the Eighth Doctor, where, you know, he's a little erratic for a while, but then he kind of, once he starts doing something, he knows what to do.
Right. Once he gets into the groove and the muscle memory takes over, he's in charge. And I mean, we see that in the trailer. Vastra, you know, tells Clara when she asked, what's he doing here? You know, she's like, well, there's trouble. Where else would he be? So it's like he woke up. He's like, oh, hey, I got to take care of this problem. And that could be what it is. So.
Well, and Tennant kind of did that too. He'd pop up every once in a while and sonic something and then fall back asleep.
Right. Yeah. And then once he, you know, popped up, apparently champion swordmaster and complete badass.
So, seems legit.
Yeah. And there's the argument to be made that they've, with the Ninth Doctor on, they've kind of taken a new stance on it and said, okay, yes, the rest of that stuff exists, but from this point on, we're starting fresh. We're rewriting our own story. You know, and you see that with the visuals of the regenerations and the, you know, different things like that, is that they're not saying, okay, whatever happened before is set in stone. This has to be the way it is. They're starting over. And like we've said many times with this one, it's a brand new set of regenerations. This is completely unprecedented. So they've got, you know, tabula rasa here. It's complete blank slate that they can work with.
True.
I mean, you know, nothing's off limits at this point. So it's very, very exciting.
I am elated.
I can tell that just...
I cannot contain my enthusiasm.
So, but I mean, the good news is that we've got less than a week to wait until we get to see it. You know,
because we've been good.
We have, unlike others, you know who you are. But are you going to actually see this in the theaters?
No, I'll be working.
Oh, that's horrible.
But it'll be like a little gift. I work all day and then I get home and I get new Doctor Who.
You work all day, you know, managed to get sick halfway through your shift.
I'm sick.
I need to go see a doctor, like really bad.
The right kind of doctor.
And then just take in a sonic screwdriver for your doctor's note. That'd be great. But no, I'm not actually going to go see it in the theaters. I thought about it, especially since they're going to be doing the midnight showings in some places. Mm-hmm. I really thought about doing it, but it's just, I can't justify spending the money on it when I can just, yeah, I don't think there's anything extra with it. It's just the episode. So.
Right.
I'd just rather wait, sit on my couch without pants and, you know, enjoy it. So.
That does sound fantastic.
Yeah, it does. Oh, but then we do have some news about it though. And apparently we had talked about this previously when it first came out, but there was a fan made intro sequence that we absolutely fell in love with here. It was fantastic. You know, and we kept saying, if Moffat knows his stuff, he's going to call this guy and he is going to say, hey, work with me on this one. You know, let me have it, you know, wholesale, or, you know, work pieces of it into it. And, you know, thank you for listening to us, Moffat. I know you're a big fan of the show. he has done exactly that. And apparently the new title sequence is very, very close to what this guy put out. There's still like the clock cogs and stuff in the time vortex and things like that. Obviously the font is different and some of there's minor changes here and there, but it seems like this is pretty much, you know, what we're going to be seeing at the beginning of the show next week.
Inspired by.
Yeah. So I'm excited because, I mean, like I said, this thing is fantastic. I fell in love with it the first time I watched it. So I can't wait to see how it is in front of the actual show, but. Yep. And then the other big news that we've got, and at this point, this is just a rumor. This hasn't been confirmed yet, but, you know, these things do tend to happen like this. The rumor is that Jenna Coleman is actually going to be leaving after the Christmas special. So Clara is going to be, you know, going her separate way after Christmas.
Which isn't that surprising. Most of the companions haven't gone much more than one or two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, really, we've only had, what, four of them so far, and Rose was two seasons. Amy was, I guess, two and a half.
So,
yeah, and we've only had eight episodes with Clara. Well, nine and a 50th special, so I don't know.
And a Christmas special?
Well, that's the ninth.
Oh, so. I can't count.
Math is hard. No, but I mean, yeah, we all kind of expected this. You know, when we heard that Matt Smith was leaving, our first question was, okay, how long is Jenna Coleman going to stay on? You know, it's really not all that surprising, but the thing that I'm hoping for is I hope that she's made this decision early enough that they could treat her as a transitional character throughout this series 8. You know, I don't want them to spend series 8 building her up as this awesome companion and finally undoing all the damage that they had done and trying to make people love her just for her to leave at Christmas. I'm hoping that they said early enough, okay, I want to leave. And they're like, okay, we need to work this into the story and start phasing her out or something. So
that means they'll probably have to kill her off, right?
That would be a great way for her to exit, but it is the Christmas special, so it will be pinned by Moffat. So even if he does kill her, she'll be back
three
episodes
later.
Clara. Yeah. Right.
We're going to need another Clara.
It won't be Clara Prime that died. It'll be one of the other iterations. So, yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about this, and lots of people have varying opinions about it, and we would love to hear what you guys have to say about it, because there's quite a bit to it. But I know our group of friends has been discussing it ad nauseum, had a lot of different varying opinions. A lot of it's like, I don't want her to go. Okay, it's about time for her to, this, that, and the other. And so what's your take on this?
I mean, at this point, Clara hasn't really grabbed me. The Clara that we got to keep hasn't really grabbed me. So I'm fine with her going.
Yeah.
Maybe my opinion will change after a whole season of having her, though.
My biggest hope for Series 8 was that they were going to make her a viable companion, and that she and Capaldi were going to mesh well, and that it was really going to cement her as a quality companion. Now that I know that, or now that it's suspected that she's going to be leaving, it's... I don't know. At this point, I'm like, okay, I've lost any reason to care about her at all. There's really no draw. And I'm like, any episode that they make her excessively cool in this season is just going to be like, okay. So there's no point to it at this point. So one thing that I had issue with though is that in this article, it says that she's, let me see if I can find it. Where was it? Yeah, by the time she leaves, she will be one of the longest standing companions ever.
I don't think that made any sense.
No, because, okay, by the time she leaves, she'll have 22 episodes, 23 if you count the 50th as one. So 23 episodes. Rose had more. Amy had more.
Yeah.
Most of the classic companions had more.
Yeah, she's middle of the pack for modern Who, not even in the top 10 probably for all of Who.
Yeah, and I mean, it says... you know, longest standing companions ever. I'm like, no,
nope.
So it's, I don't know. I can't wait to get the official word on this and actually get some quality articles about it. But it is kind of nice to get this, you know, early on and fresh out the gate. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm disappointed. That's basically what it boils down to. Is like, I had a lot of hope, and now it's just, okay.
It's kind of early to be hearing about this.
And it's really bad timing, too. I think that they probably tried to keep her exit under wraps for longer. But, you know, this probably leaked out. They were probably going to say something in a week or two. But, you know, it leaked. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I find it really, really bad timing to let that out. But it is what it is. So
they've had a lot of leaks this year.
Yeah. The first five scripts, the first episode, now this. It's seriously, somebody needs to get that stuff under control.
Cock the ship. Good grief.
Yeah. Oh, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But yeah, so next week we will
have... What are we talking about next week? Is there something happening?
Minor details. So next week we will be talking Deep Breath. By the time that we record next week, it will have been out for at least 24 hours, so we're good.
We'll have seen it two or three times.
You're setting the bar really, really low. So we will have episode one next week. That's very, very exciting.
Yeah. What number of our episode would that be?
That'll be episode 100.
Woo!
Yeah. So, you know, we did orchestrate this with the BBC very carefully. Be like, look, we need something big for our 100th episode. Can you guys just, you know, correspond?
Yeah, this would be the best week for us to have you release that episode.
Yeah, and Moffat being a huge fan of the show, he was like, you know what, anything for you guys. We're good. So I do find this really strange, though, is the fact that today, as we record, is actually the 2-year anniversary of GPR. It was 2 years ago today that we put out our first episode. And that was 3 weeks prior to Series 7 starting. So in the span of 2 years, we have gotten a full series.
You say that like you're surprised.
Well, I'm just okay. We've had, you know, one series of Doctor Who, which is 13 episodes plus a special, and then a Christmas special. Well, I guess two Christmas specials in there. So we'll say 15 episodes, 16.
Scattered across 2 years.
16 episodes over 2 years, where we're sitting at 100. I'm not a math genius, but that seems a little bit skewed. You guys need to get on
quantity
this.
Over quality every time, guys. That's what you could expect from GPR.
Exactly. Oh, and on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up.
I think you're right.
All right. Well, this has been episode 99 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying it is time for a fresh start.
And this is Haley saying, suck it up, Kier.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows by calling 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1477 to leave us a voicemail. You can head to GallifreyPublicRadio.com to leave comments on each episode. There you can also keep up to date on all the latest news and gossip, as well as what's going on in the community. Also make sure to head over to GunnaGeek.com to find out lots of other high-quality, geek-centric shows. Music by Beyond the Epilogue and Retcon Addict.